day. I'm Anne Dolinchik, and you're listening to Coffee Conversations about Influencer Marketing. In this episode, we're in conversation with Juan Fonseil, a director at the Infinity Influencer Division. Before getting involved in the influencer marketing industry, Juan spent 15 years in brand marketing as head of marketing for prestige brands, as well as head of trade marketing at Pernod Ricard South Africa. Grab a coffee and listen as we discuss the ever-growing need for relatable, relevant, and real content, the changed role of celebrities in influencer marketing, and how the addition of performance media can scale user-generated content and other key results for brands. If you enjoy this podcast, you will also enjoy our fortnightly newsletter that keeps you up to date with influencer news from around the world. Subscribe at the link in the show notes.
This podcast series has been made possible through an exclusive sponsorship from SA's number one nano influencer platform, The Salt. Most brands have a communication line to their existing customers, but not a way to get them to have additional positive brand conversations. The Salt solves the problem by identifying brand fans and getting them to talk more about their positive brand experiences. The Salt have a database of over 140,000 registered brand fans and in-depth information on each to perfectly match your brand to the right influencers. Reach out to them now and see what they can do for you.
Hi, Juan. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us today. Before we jump into today's episode, can you maybe give us a bit of insight and some background into who you are and your journey into influencer marketing?
Thanks, Anne. Yeah. It's a privilege to be here. Fun being able to catch up in this way. So my journey, if we don't go back too far, but I grew up in George, so a small town boy, then moved to varsity, and I decided to go and have a look at the big city lights. So I went to Rau in Johannesburg, which is quite a shift from the garden route. Spent some time there, did a BCom degree, and then after that I went and played some rugby professionally for about 5 years. And as I left rugby, I joined a fantastic business which was growing in South Africa, a global giant, but still at the time quite small and inconspicuous in a South African context, Pernod Ricard South Africa, which is part of the French spirits and wine giant. Yeah, because I was kind of intrigued by brands. I didn't necessarily major in marketing, but obviously had marketing as part of my BCom studies. And joined them as a brand manager. And I had to learn the hard way very quickly. But I spent 15 fantastic years there that I wouldn't exchange for anything. Learned a lot. Met some phenomenal people and traveled the world, which was a huge privilege. Ended there in a role as head of trade marketing, which I had for 1 year. But before that, the 14 years prior, I'd spent in various brand roles and eventually entered my pure brand section as head of marketing on the prestige brands. Yeah, and then in 2016, I had some conversations with the guys at Infinity Media, and I jumped ship into the entrepreneurial space, joining the influencer division as a shareholder in November 2016, and cutting my kind of corporate ties. And since then, it's been a roller coaster with a lot of fun. I've learned a lot on this side as well. In a smaller business, actually very similar to my first few years at Pernod Ricard, where it's very much an entrepreneurial mindset and treating it like your own business. I think that's the great thing about our organization is that, you're kind of really empowered to treat it as your own business. Learned a lot about influencer marketing, I think, which has really opened my eyes. Seen some amazing stuff and it's been a lot of fun since then.
What was your attraction to go from your marketing side at Pernod to actually going into influencer marketing? That's it's same but very different.
It certainly is. I mean, in terms of influencer marketing, working in the high end spirits and champagne world, certainly was exposed to influencers across the board, mainly on your celebrity scale. But yes, it certainly was a jump. It was probably the allure of joining an entrepreneurial business and not getting caught up in the tangles of a large corporate and not being able to leave eventually. You know, to cut a long story short. It was very much the entrepreneurial space. And also, at the time, Pieter Groenewald, our CEO, kind of really explained to me in terms of his vision for the business, his vision and where influencer marketing was heading at the time. Yeah, and as you know, since then, you know, influencer marketing has really shot to prominence from a marketing perspective.
Yeah, in the last 5 years, it's really just exploded in South Africa. And there's never a dull moment, which is what I absolutely love about it. So, Johan, coming from your background before you worked in influencer marketing, what was kind of, if you can maybe think back, what was your first memory of seeing like an influencer campaign? And why did it stand out for you? Kind of what caught your attention where you go like, oh, actually, influencer marketing is kind of going to be a thing one day?
Yeah, I'd say prior to joining Infinity, you know, there was never really an influencer campaign per se as part of any of the marketing activities or strategies. Influencers was kind of interwoven into most of the strategies because working with brands like Chivas Regal, the Glenlivet, Mom Champagne, Jameson, Absolut, aspirational high-end brands, you were always exposed to kind of high-profile events, brand launches, sponsorships, high-profile networking opportunities, and influencers, or at that stage, you know, celebrities was really kind of part and parcel. It was a game stake, you know, in terms of the world that we operated in. But I must say, if I can highlight two elements where I really kind of saw how influencers really played a role in terms of determining, so rather the profiling of the influencers and being correct. I was fortunate, to work on some of the most amazing brands at Pernod Ricard. And I did a global TV ad with Liver Chivalry that featured a UK actor by the name of Chiwetel Ejiofor, which was all around, you know, the idea of driving a social conscience and social entrepreneurship, where you would, give back to society, profit for good, if I can put it that way, kind of extended further into a consumer platform called The Venture, where it enticed local entrepreneurs with the social conscience to enter a global competition. But it was really about kind of looking at Chiwetel and the values and the personality that he had and how that kind of aligned with Chivas Regal as a brand, but also would resonate with the target audience. You know, so that being as an example, kind of started giving me, without necessarily purely looking at it as an influencer strategy, kind of looking at how you need to apply, a thought process, a very specific thought process when working with influencers. Now, this obviously being at the high end of a celebrity, interesting, at the complete opposite end, a brand like Red Hot Rum, we did the TV ad, Live With Heart. Now, obviously a very masculine brand and appeals to a certain consumer segment in the South African, mainly male audience. And there we actually profiled two, famous rugby players at the time who obviously being sportsmen, but certainly celebrities in their own right, Victor Matfield and Bucky Sporta. And we used them in the TV ad because of, once again, the values and the personalities that they brought to the fore and how that aligned with Red Hot Rum. And then also kind of how they resonated within the target audience. So kind of two very different examples, but kind of how influencer marketing kind of worked into my education as a marketer during my time as at Pernod Ricard.
Those are amazing examples, and I feel like you have such a great foundation, even if you didn't know it at the time, moving into the space then, because you already understood what it took to actually identify the right people for the right brands, who resonates, the type of content. So then my next question is, now that you've moved into influencer marketing and been here for quite a while now, how has your perceptions been shaped or changed since those days with Perno and these amazing celebrities that you've worked with?
Yeah, so I think at the time, it was very much aligning certain personalities with a brand that resonated with an audience. I think in terms of just the ability to take their content, the content that they create on their social media platforms, and the influence that really has on their audiences, I think that for me really for the first time stood out when I started looking at real campaigns being executed. Another thing that for me in terms of my own perception certainly has changed is just the quality of content that in general is being delivered on campaigns, whether it be celebrity macro influences, micro influences, or even a nano influence. It's just the general quality of content has improved significantly. And then, you know, one thing that most marketers at some stage always want to look at is measurability. There's just so many different ways that you can drive achievable KPIs through influencer campaigns, which I necessarily wasn't too afraid with at my time at Pernod Ricard. And also it's part of influencer marketing growing within the South African brand landscape. So, and then lastly is just, you know, there's so many creative ways of incorporating influencers into campaigns and what they can bring to the table. It's probably one of the most flexible marketing tactics out there, you know, in terms of either scaling up or scaling down, you know, doing targeted sampling, adding additional elements within their social media. So there's so many things that you can bring to the table from an influencer marketing point of view, which you are very limited with most other media formats.
The industry has come such a long way in the last 5 years. Just two of the points said there. Quality of content creation has completely shot through the roof, whether you're nano, whether you're macro, just purely because anyone with a decent cell phone has a great camera these days. And being exposed to so much on social media and online, and we've got endless kind of resources, people are learning for themselves how to work things, angles, just kind of types of content, which has been really exciting to see. And then also that measurability, that like every year it just feels like we are adding more and more in depth so that we can give back to our clients, give them the ROIs they're looking for, give them the metrics they're looking for. And combined with other marketing activities, it really is really, really powerful.
No doubt. You see that every day with, you know, campaign results coming out.
Absolutely. So, Joanna, what are the biggest trends that you've personally seen in the last 6 months kind of emerging in our industry?
I think there's probably three big ones that stand out, and maybe one additional one that I'm just intrigued by. So the three trends for me personally that's standing out, and they are quite obvious, but you know, is the emergence of e-commerce. I think, you know, down to the impact that the lockdown restrictions has had in our economy, e-commerce has shot into prominence, and everyone's been scaling themselves to be able to have an online offering. So emergence of e-commerce, and then through social commerce, having shoppable posts. So I think that's an area that we're going to see huge growth in, the ability of influencers to drive revenue for online platforms. Then a second one would probably be the need for authenticity, relevance, relatable content, kind of being real. We live in, unfortunately, quite a skeptical world, and I think people are more and more looking for real content. And then the third one would probably be just the combination of performance media driving user-generated content to scale. And lastly, the one that I'm probably most intrigued by is the evolution of TikTok in the South African market. I think there's some fun and very interesting developments there. And I think, yeah, it's something to keep your eye on.
No, those are really great trends. And I think you are completely right. And all those things are going to just kind of, I think, amplify over the next couple of years, even, because now we've been catapulted into this, what we call the new normal. And that e-commerce is definitely going to be key. Paid or performance media is going to be absolutely key. And that authenticity is going to be the biggest driver of that, because that's why people follow people. And speaking of people being more authentic, being more approachable, being more relatable, we are also seeing brands focusing a lot more on your micro and your nano influencers than what we did in our macros. I mean, even you said with your time at Pernod, that's when the celebrity was really like our big drivers in our influencer space. Why do you think that is? But then also, is there then still a role for macro influencers? And if there is one, what does that role look like?
Hashtag no filter. That's how this podcast is delivering real down-to-earth stories told by real people. For an influencer campaign that takes brand conversation to everyday real-life situations, go check out thesalt.co.za. They are the undisputed experts in real influencer marketing.
So, yeah, I mean, I think a very good and relevant question today. I think just the first part of your question, I think, you know, as I mentioned before, you know, we live in quite a skeptical world out there. And I think if you can find something online from a relatable, trustworthy, authentic source, you know, it's believable. So I think that's one very important thing. Why brands are going closer to the source, if I can put it that way, you know, tapping into micro influencers and nanos across the board. Another reason probably, you know, for brands going that way is just the democratization of the industry. You know, you can run a campaign today for a fraction of the cost than you did potentially even 15 years ago, when you actually, like we discussed, you know, needed celebrities to drive some form of return on investment. And, you know, today you can tap into, you know, a few nanos, add a performance campaign to that and see your real results, which really kind of makes this form of communications, you know, it's open to the startup all the way through to your large corporates. I think another one is just, you know, based on that trend, also it's just the content curation has just improved significantly. Micros and nanos are putting so much more effort into the quality of their content because they realize that is their currency. That's one of the big areas of improvements in both those categories. I think obviously micros kind of led the way, but nanos have fast become specialists. As you said, you know, if you've got a smartphone, you know, you've probably got one of the better cameras out there, you know, video recorders, etc. It's just, yeah. So content has just continuously improved. From a macro point of view, I think they'll always have a role to play. You know, I think the industry has just grown. You know, so the pie has increased. The size of this pie of where influencer content fits in has just increased. We'll keep on following celebrities and famous people because we're curious by nature. You know, we're intrigued by them, by their lifestyles, by what they wear, what they drink, where they go to. So I think they'll always have a role to play. You know, they'll always deliver on metrics like high impact. They'll be attention grabbing. They'll always have star appeal, you know, and in certain consumer categories, that is a game stake. You know, the world that I certainly come from in the previous life, that was a game stake. You know, who you were seen with, where you were seen at, and what those people were consuming was very important to driving trends, driving aspirational themes. So I think even in that, but even in general categories, you're always going to see macros have a role to play.
I 100% agree with you. I do believe that every category of influencer has its place depending on what the objectives are of a campaign. And we are intrigued by celebrities, what they're doing, who they're seeing, what they're wearing. You gave us two really nice examples earlier of kind of influencer or incorporated influencer campaigns. And as you say, your previous life in marketing. But since you've started working at Infinity and since you started working kind of on mass and influencer campaigns, can you give us two more examples of these campaigns that you were super, super proud of?
I think the reason it's a previous life is it is a very different life on that side of the boardroom table than it is where we are now. but both of them bring their own pros and cons, and I'm loving what I'm doing now. So two campaigns that really kind of stand out. I think it's been a whirlwind 5 years, but two campaigns, and I have to highlight that's, you know, that kind of really stood out, have been with two of the larger businesses in the South African landscape. The one being Takealot, and not just because they are the largest online retailer in South Africa, but because, you know, what they do, they always do well. So, and it was really tapping onto the one trend that we spoke about earlier, is the emergence of e-commerce and driving that through social commerce. Was a campaign we did last year in May, June, and it was a proof of concept, combining influencer content with performance media, driving revenue. The background to the campaign was, the intent was to bring lapsed users or shoppers back to their platform. So that would have been shoppers who haven't shopped anything from their platform in the last 18 months, and drive revenue with that target group. So quite a tough task at hand, thinking at the scale of Takealot. But we took it on, and we got a combination of nanos and micros on board, got them to bring relevance to the benefits of shopping online. And we highlighted certain aspects, so key aspects that we believed, and combined with in discussions with the client, was that possibly could have withheld someone from shopping online. So firstly, addressing the safety aspect, you know, payment is safe, goods will be delivered, how do you return goods, etc. And then highlighting the wide variety of goods available. You know, it's you go on to Takealot nowadays, and you can pretty much buy close to anything on there. So it was really about targeted content curation, and then driving that through a performance media strategy to a very targeted audience. Once again, looking at people who haven't shopped online for 18 months. So in terms of the actual results, we had phenomenal results, and we achieved every benchmark and improved on it. Since then, we've done multiple campaigns with Takealot, and our key measure being return on ad spend in terms of revenue generated, we've been averaging anything between 15 and 30 times in terms of our results, which I'm incredibly proud of, because based on every campaign being slightly different in terms of its targeting required. But yes, that's really been a fantastic campaign for us to have been involved in. And it's led to numerous campaigns since then with the Takealot brand. Then a second campaign is, we were quite fortunate to be involved right from the get-go, but was with the Checkers 6060 brand. Checkers 6060 being one of a number of innovations that the ShopRite group has brought to the market in the last 2 years. I think they've really led innovation in the retail space, and they've done an amazing job. I think everyone can see the results within their stores and their business overall. So the intent behind the campaign was to successfully launch every Checkers store that goes live onto their app. Now, their app is quite specific in the sense that you have to live within a 5 kilometer radius of a live store to be able to order from that, from the app and from that specific store. And then your goods will be delivered within 60 minutes. So a fantastic promise on their end. But as you know, the skeptical world that we live in, you know, a lot of people think, you know, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. And part of our job was, you know, to get nano influencers, relatable, real people that we were able to target from a geographical location point of view, but also had relevance to the brand in terms of lifestyle and life stage, to generate content about the 6060 app being live in that area or within that store by 9 a.m. on the launch day. So very specific in terms of timing and the content. And the results have been phenomenal. We've been fortunate enough to work with the Checkers 6060 team, who have been amazing since June last year, right through to, it's been 12 months now. We've launched 127 of their stores nationally with them by targeting the correct profiles within that geographical location and very strict criteria in terms of lifestyle, life stage, and content that they have on their platform. So two campaigns that I've been very proud of, It's you always feel under pressure when you work with big clients. They've got always very, very good people that work for them, and they demand the results. So very proud of those two.
Those are two phenomenal campaigns. And I mean, you helped launch, 126 Checkers stores. That is incredible.
Yeah, I can assure you, I've only been the face to the client. Our operational team, our social media management team, and our paid media team have worked tirelessly to ensure success. As with any campaign like this, where, especially the Checkers 60-60, where you've got time limitations, it's very stressful. It's always difficult to get people to do what you want when you want. And I can only take my hat off to our operational team in the back end. That deliver amazing profiles through our fantastic software, onboarding them, getting them excited, and then our social team driving fantastic content, inspiration, etc. And then our paid media team obviously delivering the results and getting excitement within that geographical, area around this app, and actually showcasing the fact that you are going to get your goods within 60 minutes. It's beautifully packaged. It's safe. It's fast. And it's dependable. So it's been a very tough journey for them. And I really appreciate all the efforts. So I'm most definitely only the guy talking to the client. And I can't take any credit for the success here.
No, look, there's always a team behind that does amazing things, and you're part of that team. And I also think that's probably one of the big advantages of using a specialized agency instead of doing a lot of brands doing things in-house, is that kind of you take the pain away of all of that stress. We've got teams who's specialists in that to actually handle all of that from A to Z.
Yes, most definitely. And I think the industry has moved so far in the last 5 years that I think you need to work with specialists. I think that's certainly one thing my one piece of advice to people out there is that, work with specialists in the field, who apply themselves around this category of marketing, who understand all the dynamics at play, complications that come in, but they know how to handle those challenges. This is certainly a very challenging form of marketing because there's so many moving parts. And if you don't have specialists, the chance of you getting egg on the floor, is pretty good.
No, absolutely. And also with it changing all the time, when people work in the industry day in and day out, they know how to handle things. They know what's going on, to your point. So Johan, what tips do you have for other marketers who want to implement influencer campaigns going forward, but considering the shifts that the agent or the marketing and advertising industry has seen over the last 18 months or so?
And I think, where I was worked in a specific category, consumer category and consumer goods, for such a long time, I've really had the pleasure of dealing with marketing people across various sectors of business, and each business kind of has its own strategic initiatives within that financial year that they want to achieve. You've got a variety of tactics that you can bring into play into that marketing mix, to win in the marketplace. One thing I can though say to marketers out there is that I can encourage you to educate yourself on influencer marketing. Do research on the industry and be informed on what influencers can bring to the table. The world of influencer marketing has changed dramatically in the last 10 years, globally, but most certainly in a South African context. What you can achieve through influencers now in 2021 is vastly different to what you could have done in 2011. So I'd really encourage marketers to go out and educate themselves. There's so much great information on the web. So I think do that. Empower yourself and don't purely leave it to your agencies to drive that piece. The second tip is as an ex-brand marketeer, and you're always driving return on investment, and sometimes you get stuck in the proven. Why change it if it ain't broke? But as we've learned through so many examples, is that if you're not changing every day, you are going to get left behind. So be willing to test. Be willing to test. If you're running, for instance, branded content already on social media with a paid media strategy, targeting, you know, a specific set audience, be willing to reallocate a portion, a small portion of that money to test an influencer campaign combined with a paid media strategy and measure the results of the influencer campaign versus what you're achieving currently with your brand-led campaign. You know, you might be so surprised with the improvement that you could potentially see. So just be willing to test. It doesn't necessarily cost additional money. Sometimes it's what you're doing already. You might just be able to do better. And sometimes, in most instances, it's a combination. You know, I think brand and influencer run concurrently is probably the best model out there. And then I think the third and last tip is one we touched on already. I think, you know, the days of using generalists are really behind us. You need to invest in specialists in the field. People who work on campaigns across various consumer categories day in and day out, who've got specialist teams in the background, who apply themselves to the intricacies of influencer marketing, can bring the best to the fore. As an example, you know, you're not going to pick a cricket player for your national baseball team just because there's a bat and the ball involved in both games, you know. So I'd say if influencer agencies and suppliers out there are specialists, kind of invest in working with them rather than the generalists. You know, use the tech and the expertise that these specialists have refined and worked hard at getting the best at, because you're going to see the results then. And now you can demand the results from influencer marketing. It's measurable and it's effective. I believe if you use specialists, you're going to come out winning on the other side.
Those are absolutely fantastic tips. But that brings us to the end of our chat. Yuan, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and sharing your experience with us. It was a very informative and valuable chat. But before we let you go, please let everyone know where they can find you online if they want to know more about what you do and just who you are.
Thanks, Anne. No, firstly, thank you for me. It's such a privilege being able to chat to you. You know, it's nice in a forum like this when you're able to share your experiences, because I think, you know, you need to take and be willing to learn every day to keep on growing and keep on improving. So it was just for me a privilege to be able to share some of my experience. In terms of where you can find me, I'm on LinkedIn, Johan van Sail on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook as well as Instagram, but I think the most relevant spot would probably be on LinkedIn. Looking forward to connecting with any marketers out there who would like to engage on influencer marketing.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Yuan. And I'm sure we'll chat soon. Have a good one.
Thanks, Anne. Have a fantastic day.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
This podcast series has been made possible by The Salt, the influencer company that turns influence into affluence. In the same way that information is presented in this podcast in a relatable and authentic way, The Salt gets your customers to tell their real brand stories to their community. Go to thesalt.co.za to learn more about how The Salt can help you grow your business.